The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
We're going to get to some listener questions in just a second, and we do have one actually on the air, so I'm going to grab it here. This is the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast. I think I know who this is, but who's this?
Yeah, this is Terrell.
What's going on, Terrell? How you doing tonight?
How you doing, John? Everybody,
I think John's been better based on some of the commentary he's received from his stance on things. But we're doing all right.
I just want to say, I know we kind of surreal, kind of shocked that we still at the aftermath of Marvin being gone, and we dealing with a new coach. A lot of teams deal with this almost every other 2 or 3 years, but we've been with this for a long time, and are we just scared that, the new coach, Taylor, he might lay an egg in the first year, but it's going to be a rebuild in the first year. You got to really understand this, because we still need some linebackers. We still need a tight end. We still definitely need some offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe in Dalton better than Tannehill. I'll tell you that. Though, if you want to just bring in, like our fake Nick Foles, that'd be cool. But you say what you want about Dalton, man, but Dalton got heart, man. He got some heart.
Yeah.
And if he could at least try to make us the at least half of what the Rams is, Just with the play calling. I could tell you this though, it might be some second half adjustments this year. I could tell you that though. That's what's probably gonna happen though this year.
Yeah, hopefully.
And, I just think that it's gonna be a lot of cuts. It's gonna be a lot of fan favorites might get cuts. It's gonna be maybe some new free agents might turn their heads and might think about Cincinnati too, but. I just calm down. I know it's gonna take a little minute though, but I was gonna say another thing before I leave. I think we're waiting on Tua or Trevor Lawrence though. That's what we're waiting on.
Yeah. Could be.
How do you get Trevor Lawrence, man? How do you get Trevor Lawrence without trading up?
And I'm gonna just say this right now, Joe Mixon might be the Todd Gurley of the AFC.
Well, we'll see.
I'm
sure Zach Taylor would take that. Thanks, Terrell. We're gonna get moving on here. Appreciate you calling in as always, my friend.
Thank you.
All right. Lot there, but I mean, basically, you've got another person who is on the Dalton train over Tannehill. That's one thing, but I think, and that's the hope, is that the Bengals will become Rams East, right? I mean that. Their quarterback is a plethora of weapons to throw to that just know the system in and out. They have a running back who can come in and be dominant. And the good news is the Bengals have some of those pieces, at least on offense, in place. Right, John?
They have an identity. And I think that's the most important thing. Like, they run 90-something percent of their plays out of one personnel package. But they run a plethora of different type of concepts with a lot of condensed formations. They run the same scheme with their running back with Todd Gurley, and works every time because they always try to make sure that Gurley has the lightest box to run against. They always have a lot of good matchups in that front four with a great offensive line that the Bengals don't have yet, but they can potentially build it with a guy like Bill Callahan. I think that's the whole goal, because the Rams are an exotic smash-mouth team, but they, you know, don't do anything. They don't show their hand to anything different. You know, they run the same personnel, but they run a lot of different things out of the personnel, and their defense is built on just frenetic talent as well, because they built that for a lot from free agency and along with the drafts as well. I think that's the goal for the Bengals with a guy like Taylor, to bring in that same type of establishment of an identity to utilize their strengths to their best.
Hard to disagree with you there. And John, I think we've got someone on the line here who is an ardent disagreeer of your stance yet again, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Who's this on the air?
This is Brownshoe. How you guys doing?
We're all right. How you doing, man?
Doing all right. Can you hear me all right? I'm driving my semi truck right now.
I got you.
Background noise or not?
Yeah, we got you. Can you hear John or no?
Right now I can't hear John.
Here we go. How are you, Brownshoe? Nice drive. Hello.
I can kind of hear him, but I. Not 100%.
You don't want to hear me. I want to hear you, though. I want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah. So give us your thoughts on the because I think you are one of the folks in the chat that were in ardent disagreement with John.
Yeah. I mean, nothing personal with you, John. Like, it's don't think that. But I've always been a big Andy Dalton fan. I mean, a big thing is people always overestimate what he's been, like, what he's had throughout his years. When he came into the Bengals in 2011, he inherited a 4-12 team, a team that just lost all their weapons. They had to get A.J. Green in the first round. He was a rookie. Everybody else, Chad Johnson, everybody else was gone. So he brought a 4-12 team to the playoffs all the way up until 2015, every single year. And all he had until 2013 was A.J. Green. He didn't have Muhammad Sanu or Marvin Jones until 2013. They were on the bench in 2012. He didn't have Tyler Eifert until 2013 also, and he was on the bench in 2013, really. I mean, if you look at all the Dalton's most productive years, he was playing really, really good, borderline elite, when he had talent around him. In 2013, he was third in touchdowns and seventh in yards when he had A.J. Green, Muhammad Sanu, and Marvin Jones. He's only had a good running game like 1 year in his career, and that was last year. Like, if you give Dalton a good supporting cast, he's going to be good.
Well, that's been Dalton's MO. Hey, Brownshoe, we got a lot of calls coming in, so we're going to let you go. But I think you've made some good points, and I'm going to let John respond off the air here. Okay, bud, drive safe.
All right, thanks.
Well, John, I mean, and by the way, I will read a text in a second. I will read a text here in a second, basically in support of you, but go ahead and talk about what Brownshoe shot over to you.
If that's the same Brownshoe from the old Bengals forums, I remember him. He's a very avid Bengals fan. He always was in those Andy Dalton debates, but Brownshoe proved another point of mine. Dalton is a guy that you can definitely manufacture production. Because at this point, when you compare him to the 31 other starting quarterbacks in the league off natural talent, he's probably somewhere in the 16 to 20 range. Like, he's not going to elevate any guys around him. Like, he just proved a lot of our points. When you surround him with great talent, he can produce, you know, at a high level. Does that mean he's a high level quarterback? No, it just means he's dependent on what's around him. Again, you can't building a team around him so talented that he has to have that to produce at that level. It's not sustainable if you're paying him like a franchise quarterback. They tried to do it for a couple years with guys on rookie deals. When it was time to pay those guys, they didn't pony up, and eventually the team dissipated because they couldn't build around him because they were paying him too much. Yada yada yada. Didn't draft well, didn't have a lot of free agency. Well, you need a quarterback who not only costs not a lot on a rookie contract, but you need a guy who can elevate guys around you. Andy Dalton's just not that. He's completely dependent on what's around him because he's not as talented as other quarterbacks who are. And that's just the reality of the situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think in an ideal world, Andy Dalton would be, you know, become that guy somehow magically under Zach Taylor in this system. And, you know, he's the guy that potentially does things that these other good quarterbacks do, and not be the guy that relies on other outside talent to elevate his game. We got one more call here coming through. I'm going to grab this real quick here. Hey, it's the Orange and Black Insider. Who's this?
Hey, it's John from Kentucky.
John, hey, sorry. We were getting a lot of calls and texts, buddy. The lines were tied up, but I'm glad you called back in and got your two cents here.
That's fantastic. That's what happens when the Bengals make changes. People are interested in the Bengals again.
Well, yeah, when the Bengals make changes and when people are listening to such a high quality program such as ours, that's what happens.
Absolutely, I love this program.
Well, what's going on, John? I appreciate it.
I tell you what, I've got some changes to make myself on the Cincy Jungle site. I've got to change my username because I said I would change it to a better name if they got rid of Hugh Jackson. Well, they've done that. So now, not only am I going to change my username, I will not have an unkind thing to say about the Bengals for the next 5 years. I mean, I have watched this team that we have right now, that we did have for 16 years, Anthony. I think the first time I talked to you about 8 years ago, and I was complaining about the Bengals and whining and whatnot, Marvin Lewis had been there 8 years. I think, and I just kept on and on. And yep. This is the best change that's happened to me in a while. I feel young again. I'm energetic now. You know what I mean?
I do. And I think I would like to think that a lot of the Bengals players feel the same way, that the ones who have been there and seen a lot under Marvin Lewis, hopefully they feel the same way. How do you feel about the coaching overhaul and what has, the young guy they're bringing in? And, are you – obviously, you're excited. You noted that, but I mean, are you also hesitant? I mean, you've been a fan of this team for a long time. Are you worried that this is a David Shula-esque, I guess, kind of signing?
No. I don't think we'll go quite in that direction. I know Dave Shula, when he took over right after Sam Weiss. Mike Brown had no experience whatsoever in owning an NFL football team. Those were just some bad times. Paul Brown had recently passed away. The Bengals were in shambles. They really were. They're nowhere near that condition right now. Yeah. And I don't know if Mike Brown's children, his daughter, his son-in-law, have a lot of say-so now. I don't know. But they have made some great changes here. And no, I don't think they're in anywhere near that condition right now. I think they will be good. I think this new coaching staff, I would think at worst would be 8-8. I mean, I don't know. But look, after watching Marvin Lewis for 16 years and after just copying this attitude that this team doesn't care, they are run like some bureaucracy, they never make changes. And yeah, they sold the stadium out for quite a while. Yeah. They did. Mike Brown was the envy of the NFL. Because he had a mediocre team that never won in prime time, or never won in the playoffs yet. He consistently sold out the stadium. Yeah. Well, that began to change in these last 2 years. The fans were like, okay, go ahead, bring Marvin back. You're not bringing us back. No, it was a lot of people. Yeah. And I think that had a lot to do with the changes made.
Yep.
So I'm going to go to a game this year. I haven't been to the game in 6 years. When they lost to the Chargers, I said, I ain't going back up there. I really want a playoff game. Wow. I told my son that. Wow. And so I'm going to a game next year. So, man, I feel great. I feel young again.
Good. Well, let us know which one you go to, and if we can swing it out there, we'd love to meet you in person, man.
That'd be fantastic. They've got some good times coming, definitely. Okay, well, look, I don't want to take up too much time. I don't know if you got other callers waiting, but I'm just tickled to death. And going to what John was saying about Tannehill, I mean, Dalton's been here, what, 8 years, 9 years? I like Dalton, but I wouldn't argue with John about Tannehill right now. If they did trade Dalton, so be it. Now, I would like to see Dalton, as I was chatting earlier, I'd like to see him get one season under a new coaching staff.
Yeah.
All I ever saw Dalton was under Marvin Lewis.
Yeah.
And I would like to see Dalton just one season with this new staff, see what he does. If we win a Super Bowl, fantastic. If we don't, then whatever. Or if they decide not to do it at all and trade him, whatever. I mean, the Bengals are making changes, and I'm not going to argue with any changes they make at this point. I'm just happy something different has happened.
Yeah, it's about if you deal Dalton, it's using the resources that you get from dealing him and using them wisely to better the team. That's, you know, whether that's freed up money from another quarterback or moving up to get a potential franchise changing guy. John, we're going to close up shop. Appreciate you calling in. Good hearing from you. Thanks for calling in one more time here when the lines were tied up. Awesome. All right. Well, let's get to a couple quick text messages here, John, because you've already had a couple of people come your way about the Dalton thing. Let's see, what was the it's from Dean saying, I just want to say I'm with John and it's time to turn the page on Dalton. He has value now. Don't miss out like they did with Chad Johnson when they could. When they could have gotten two first-round picks, if you remember that, John, that was supposedly there was an offer.
I do not remember that at all.
Yeah, it was when there was a disgruntled. I think it was maybe after 08 or something, and it was the Redskins that were supposedly offering a one and a three that could become another one. That was kind of a production-based pick there, so he's in agreement with you there. And he also adds, this franchise has won 5 playoff games in 51 years. It's time to roll the dice. And I really finally have hope that that's happening. So, 5, that's just crazy to think about. 5.
Andy Dalton has won one.
Yep. He doesn't have any of them. The other is from, this is an actual question. We hinted a little bit at the Eagles. This is a different route with it, but it's Frank from Virginia by way of Mason. There's been chatter about Tannehill with the familial connection Zach has with his brother in Philly, Press. Number one, do you think Press comes over in maybe a larger role to the Bengals? And then does that mean then that we're talking about Nick Foles at some point instead of a Ryan Tannehill?
Yes. Ooh. Oh, you kind of flipped it up. I was saying like,
or you're saying they keep Foles and maybe Wentz is the guy.
Yeah, because like Foles, I think, is like being talked about going to Jacksonville because they just hired John DeFilippo as their offensive coordinator. DeFilippo was the guy was Wentz's quarterback coach, or Wentz and Foles' quarterback coach in 2017 when they won the Super Bowl. But yeah, that's definitely an interesting thing if you were to bring Press over, because I do think that Press is one of the favorites to become offensive coordinator, because, you know, as we've mentioned, that their options are pretty slim pickings at this point. But that's definitely interesting, because I don't know how much Foles is going to cost to get on the open market, depending on what his demand is. I know his demand would be higher than Tannehill, and I don't know if the difference between Tannehill and Foles is that much. But obviously, Foles has proved himself worthy in big games, and that might attract some other franchises. And I think at this point, Jacksonville is probably the favorite for him. But that's definitely an interesting scenario right there.
Yeah, I mean, if somehow the things work out where Philly keeps Foles because that's the guy they just want and he's had postseason success, the injuries are frustrating in Carson Wentz, and somehow, you know, it would take quite a bit of capital to make that happen. But if somehow Cincinnati can get their hands around Carson Wentz instead of Nick Foles in this whole deal, that would be – wow. That would be yeah,
that would involve the highest variety.
yeah. So, but yeah, Nick Foles could be an option. That's another guy a lot of fans are talking about, especially because of Press Taylor, and it makes sense. But I don't know that that'll happen. This team has been so conservative. It's almost like you're waiting for them to say, okay, the coaching staff overhaul, that's the uncertain part. We got to be conservative at some point, which is maybe keeping Dalton for a year or two. And at some point you wait for them to be conservative, or maybe this young guy, Zach Taylor has come in, grabbed their ears, and maybe saying, hey, you got to do more in free agency. You got to do more in the draft in terms of maneuverability. And that's what it's going to take. And, we'll see if that happens. Hopefully that's something. We saw the Rams be aggressive in free agency over the past couple of years, right, John?
Yeah. And
it's paid off.
The top two teams in spending this year, I think, were the Saints and Rams. They're going to meet in the NFC Championship.
Yep.
It's just how it is. You got to spend. You got to spend.
It's not rocket science. So hopefully the Bengals end up changing their ways. That would be a major, major change, because that is something that they have long been adverse to in terms of spending money in outside free agency and moving up in the draft and all that kind of stuff. This is the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast. We're going to get out of here. A lot of phone calls, a lot of text messages. Thanks so much for a lot of comments in the YouTube chat. Sorry we couldn't get to all of them. We tried to get to as many as possible. We appreciate the patience. We appreciate all of the interaction. And like I said, we're bringing more content in the form of interviews. Perhaps John, if he's able to join us from the Senior Bowl, that'd be cool too. We're trying to mix things up a little bit on the show and hopefully bring you a more all-inclusive type of program. Thanks for all the support. Get the show where you can. We'll see you next episode. Appreciate it.
Hey everybody, it's Neil Patel, editor-in-chief of The Verge. I host a podcast every week called The Vergecast with my friends Paul Miller and Dieter Bohn. We've got a rotating cast of characters from our entire site, which is about technology, how it impacts culture, and how that is all a big cycle that causes us to have a wide variety of feelings that you can listen to every Friday. We've done over 300 episodes in the 6 years since The Verge has been around, but you only need to listen to one, the latest one, to get caught up on everything in tech news. Vergecast is on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, everywhere else you listen to podcasts. Check it out.